As silly as it may sound, there's just something really truly satisfying about business ownership that makes people feel good. You feel good as a franchisee. You feel proud. You can show your friends this lovely retail space you have. You have employees who are coming in to work in a safe and beautiful environment and they feel proud of. And I don't know, the currency of feeling good is something we've kind of forgotten about. And I'm hopeful that Co is going to really be helping our franchisees cash in on that currency of joy and just really feel good about it.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the latest edition of Fran Coach's Franchising 101 podcast. I am Tim Parmeter, founder and CEO of Fran Coach and your podcast host. And I literally almost forgot the name of the podcast as I was doing that. That's awesome. 210 episodes in, you'd think I'd have that down. Hey, so who? What are we going to do today, folks? I am excited because we have not one, but two guests coming on today to discuss not one, not two, but three different franchise brands. Two people, three brands, one little umbrella company. Yikes, that's a lot. So we got a bunch to get to today. All three of these brands are in the beauty space that are designed to create happy long-term customers from a smallish retail space that can have a surprisingly low overhead. Oh, also easy to be scaled and in multiple different ways. Sounds cool, right? First, quick reminder, as always, who we are. Fran Coach is a national search firm dedicated to working with individuals like yourself interested in owning a franchise. We're partnered with over 600 franchises in about 70 different industries. Our number one goal is to help you get properly educated about franchise ownership to determine if you should own one, and if so, which is the best one for you. That's a little bit about us. Now let's roll into our guests for today. Today, our guest is not guest, it's guest plural because they're both so awesome. We had to have them both on. We have today with us the CEO and president of The Lash Lounge, the amazing Meg Roberts, and her vice president of development. Also amazing, but come on, Zach, you're not as amazing as Meg, Zach Monroe. Guys, thanks for joining us today.
Appreciate
thanks
you.
For having us, Tim. And I'm only slightly more amazing than Zach because I'm probably 15 years older. So it's just age over beauty here, Zach.
Don't take it personally.
So that means Zach is 12. So yeah. Nice facial hair already for 12, Zach. So that's awesome.
Working
so yeah. Well, cool. So we've got two guests. We've got three brands that we want to kind of hit on today. So we've got a lot, but I never want to skip past the personal side of this industry. And so Meg, I'm totally going to pick on you first because, you know, just because basically, but always like kind of hearing people's story, how they got into this crazy industry of franchising. So give us the Meg story.
Yeah, I'll give you a brief story here, Tim. And I think it's not unlike many other people who find themselves sort of delighted to have landed in the franchising business. Unless you're part of a family that is founders or long-term franchisees, most of us kind of stumbled into this business not knowing what it was, being familiar with a chain store, for instance, but not really understanding the dynamics of small business ownership and the incredible foundation that helps to propel that success that is franchising. For me, I lived down the street from a couple of Molly Maid franchisees. And only later in my life, when I returned from a career in advertising back here to Michigan, did I discover that not only was that a franchise, but that it was actually headquartered here in Ann Arbor. And as the case may be, I knew a few people who worked there and one of the founders. And I just so happened to be, you know, plunking around on his website one day and said, man, they really need some help here. Not unlike a lot of franchisors back in the early, you know, 2000s. And I just called them up and said, hey, you know, I've got some experience. I'd be happy to help you guys out, thinking it would be a little part-time gig, just something for me to do because I had some young children. And it was something for me to do, and it was not at all part-time. And that was by design because I really discovered very quickly how satisfying it is to work on behalf of others in pursuit of their dream. And then you selfishly also get to pursue your own at the same time. I absolutely love how personal franchising is. It's the hardest part about the business because everything is very personal if you deeply care about it, but it's also the most rewarding thing. So for me, I guess I've been in the business now 17-ish years, half of my career at this point. And I can't imagine doing anything else. It's just that much fun.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And kind of like, and Zach, don't think you're not getting out of this. But it is like, Mike, you said it, everybody we've had on this show from franchise, and I always ask that question, and I've had two people that it wasn't some version of like stumbled into, and they were both kind of like born into it basically, so they didn't have any choice, right? So everybody else, unless Zach's going to ruin this for us, everybody else has some kind of dumb luck story, and then you're here with 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever. People don't leave. They may move around a little bit, but it's such a great opportunity. So Zach, give us a scoop, brother.
Yeah. So I would say I selectively tripped into it prior to my getting a real job. I was trying to play professional golf. I had played in college. That was kind of the goal. Working was not really something that I was looking to do until ultimately the golf thing wasn't working out. The putts weren't dropping. And I started to potentially think, hey, I might need a job, a real job. But how I tripped into it was the members I was playing with at the country club daily, a lot of them own their own businesses, some of those being franchises. So that's how I first got exposed to it. I remember on the first tee, I asked them what they did and they were like, oh, I own a McDonald's. And I'm like, oh, how do you do that? And then that led to more. And that was my entrance into franchising, which I think McDonald's is a lot of people's entrance into franchising. And I was lucky enough in Charlotte, there's a lot of brands that are headquartered here. So finding a role wasn't impossible, and especially entry level. Everyone's looking for entry level talent. So I got involved with a company called Driven Brands, which is an aftermarket automotive company, and then rose through the ranks there from inside franchise sales to real estate, and then kind of more of a what I do today, which is a hybrid role of real estate and franchise sales. So I got into it because I thought I would play a lot more golf, because the people that I learned about the industry, they were playing a lot of golf, but I unfortunately don't play as much as I would like.
Yeah, probably the answer for all of us on that. And clearly, if somehow Zach, you and I ever end up at some franchise conference and there's golf going on, I'm going to need a whole bunch of strokes, or I'm going to get you on my team. I'm going to know that ahead of time. So very important. So cool, guys. I love it. And we talked about Lash Lounge to begin with, but we really have three brands. We have Lash Lounge, Bishop's Cut and Color, and then we have Frenchie's Modern Nail Care. So one amazing thing about franchising is we're really not very smart when it comes to naming things. So it's usually somewhat obvious. The Lash Lounge, right? What do we think? Bishop's Cut and Color and Frenchie's Modern Nail Care with this. So we all kind of have this kind of tied together with head to toe, right? So, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Meg, Lash Lounge was first or kind of the biggest of the three, been around the longest, right? And you've been a part of Lash Lounge for a long time. So talk to us a little bit about that brand.
Yeah, so I've been with Lash Lounge for about 6 years. Frenchie's and Bishop's have both been around a considerable amount of time. I'll give them each roundly, 10 to 15 years in business with varying degrees of open stores, right? The Lash Lounge has 140 plus stores open. Frenchie's somewhere in the mid-20s and Bishop's more in the mid-40s. So the intent of Riverside's acquisition of all three brands and the creation of Head to Toe really was to bring, if I may, between the Head to Toe brand and the heart that's in the middle of all of that is the people who support those brands and the passion that the franchisees have in business ownership and honestly, the love of the services that both our employees as well as our guests share in common. Bringing together beauty and wellness underneath the Head to Toe platform and the umbrella is going to allow us to better serve our clientele. And that clientele is not only our employee and our members, but that clientele is our franchisees, Tim. So we can help them see the the big picture of what it looks like to be a franchisee in beauty and maybe have multiple concepts. We can help them feel comfortable and secure, and that you've got ownership in several concepts and we've got deep experience there. So yeah, we're pretty excited about it. You know, we're just lifting off. This is our first podcast where we're talking about head to toe and really starting to publicize it. So next time you see Zach and myself, we'll have a head to toe background and we'll have a head to toe brand. But that wasn't our first order of business post-acquisition. Our first order of business post-acquisition is make sure that our employees and our franchisees feel really secure about change. Then the third thing is the external audience. And we're just now ready to start talking to the external audience about who we are.
Gotcha. And you mentioned, so I want to make sure we touch on this because they're all beauty brands, right? Different parts of the body, somewhere between head and toe, I guess, like cleverly, again, cleverly named.
Obvious,
yeah. So I'm smart, Meg. So, but you talked about, I think most people get the opportunity to have multiple units, right? If you were back at Molly Maids, maybe that's going to be multiple territories, but for head to toe, that's multiple locations. But this is an awesome opportunity to be a multi-brand owner, because there's a lot of similarities between those businesses. Obviously, different service, but a lot of similarities. So, are you seeing some of the owners in those brands branching out a little bit more now?
Well, that's why we've got Zach on our team for sure. I'd love for him to talk a little bit about the thesis in terms of how we can envision success with one front door and two brands, because ultimately, Tim, I know from a consumer perspective, I'd love to be able to have my nails done and not have to jump back in my car and, you know, drive to a different shopping center to go to my favorite lash salon. And that's a convenience for a consumer. We want to solve that and make that convenience something that can come true. But Zach has really been able to share with me, and I'd love for him to share with you kind of, what does this look like? As a franchisee, how can I be more successful? How can I save? Does real estate move faster? So Zach, I'd love for you to share with Tim, you know, what your take is on that. We haven't done it yet, but we're going to.
Yeah, we're in the initial phases of building the pro formas for what that looks like for a dual branded physical location. Cool. So it's one front door, but you've got two brands there. One front desk, which is key, is we're starting to look at how can we optimize our labor model so that we can have less labor, obviously increasing profits, the bottom line for our franchisees. And can there be some overlap there between the brands, right? Our brands use similar point of sale systems, so that makes it really easy across the board. When you look at it from a build out perspective, we only need, I mean, for example, for a lash and a Frenchie side by side, we only need about 2000 square feet. So if you're building them out separately, you're probably doing 1200 square feet each. But since we're building them out together, we only need one set of restrooms. We don't need two. We only need one set of architectural plans. We don't need two. We're only going through plant permitting once versus twice. There's a lot of benefits to doing it side by side. So when we're looking at the initial investment, it's actually creeping lower and lower and lower compared to if you just smashed them both together. So it's becoming a pretty good looking opportunity. Not necessarily ready to roll it out yet, but the argument is for some of our brands, hey, if a consumer is a client of one brand, they're probably likely a perfect client for another brand. For example, if someone gets their eyelashes done on a regular basis, I bet you they're not painting their nails at home. They're going somewhere to get that done. So if they can have that one-stop shop, like Med said, it's fantastic. It also creates, I think, exposure. So someone that comes into a Frenchie's, they might not know anything about eyelash extensions, but they're there. They're sitting there for 30 to 60 minutes to get their service done. They're staring at the lash lounge. Naturally, the brain's going to get curious, right? And it might expose them to something that maybe they will become a client of the lash lounge too. So there could be some crossover between marketing, which is fantastic.
Yeah. Well, and even if you think, like I was just the other day was in a franchise that may or may not stretch you, right? And so in there, because like you, as you guys know, we're in franchising, you got like every franchise out there is on our radar and we're paying attention to it. But they had a couple flyers for in their strip mall go figure, there were three other franchises that were kind of in that wellness, health, beauty space. And they had those in there. They weren't part of the same big parent company, but for you guys, like, how amazing is that? If we each owned one of each of these brands, really being able to kind of promote each other's business. Because like you said, Zach, like, if you're getting your nails done, you're probably getting your lashes. Thanks for not pointing out that everybody gets a haircut, because clearly everybody does not, right? So, but for the most part, those things really are, like, I could see people easily being a customer of two of these three, if not all three, and having that synergy with the owners and can be a huge advantage, right? So I love that. Zach, maybe for you a little bit is, talk about the owner in general, right? And I think there's oftentimes a myth or misconception in franchising, especially for people coming out of the corporate world. I've always been in this industry, therefore I have to do this. But how much does that matter at all if you have owners that have any sort of background or experience in any one of these categories?
I would say having no experience might be a benefit. Because there's a lot of perceived notions in the beauty industry. This industry is not old, or it's not new, right? It's old, right? It's an industry that's booming. It's been around for a long time. People have their thoughts and opinions on it. So coming in clean is sometimes better. I will tell you, when we look at like the spread of franchisees from the top to the bottom, right? What drives success is one thing, in my opinion. They all have the same level of resources, the top and the bottom, right? It's how resourceful they are. The more resourceful they are, the more go-getter mentality that they have, those are the ones that succeed. And I think that's for any franchise. That's not necessarily ours, but in particular, the gritty ones that are not afraid to get in the trenches definitely are more successful. So when we're looking at corporate employees, it's not necessarily have you managed a team, because our labor model is slightly different. It's more blue collar, right? And they're used to managing a bunch of MBA people. It's a little bit different. So understanding their emotional intelligence. So they have to have a high level of emotional intelligence to work inside our businesses. But really that grit and that resourcefulness is what will set or make good great, in my opinion.
No, I love it. It's always follow the plan, right? Put forth the effort, but there, no matter how great the plan is, there are times as an owner, you got to like figure stuff out. Right. Mm-hmm. And be able to want to do that for sure. What are you guys looking at as far as an owner? Are you exclusively for somebody that's full-time? Can this be somebody part-time? What's kind of that makeup for you guys?
I'm happy. Zach and I have the same answer, but he's a newer member of the team. So I want to see what his answer is going to be here.
So that semi-absentee word comes up a lot, and it's kind of a dirty word because every franchise brand has their own definition of it, right? There's no universal franchise definition to semi-absentee. Some people call that 5 hours a week. Some people call it 25, anything under 40 would be semi-absentee. I would say we're probably on that side, right? We want franchisees that are more actively involved. When you look at, again, that spread from top to bottom of top producers to the bottom, the top producers are actively involved in their businesses. A lot of them have scaled to where now they have multiple units and they put some management in place so that they can be a little less involved. But I would certainly say it's not absentee. We want someone that's going to be involved in the business because no one's going to love it more than them, to be honest.
Yeah. No, I think anytime if I feel like if somebody is saying, you know, like absentee or, oh, maybe 5 hours a week, I'm like, come on, like that just probably. And if you're listening out there talking to franchises, telling me that probably run the other direction. Cause I would have like, personally, I would have some serious concerns about that, but you're spot on. I think Zach always kind of tell people semi-absentee is the most poorly defined term in franchising. Ask 10 franchisors, you're likely to get 15 different answers of what that is. And so it's open, but for you guys, and you got to be involved. And I would assume, especially at the beginning, to really make sure everything's set up properly, you're getting all the people in place, getting happy customers off to the start. Cause you don't want to launch with all of a sudden getting a bunch of bad reviews and bad press out there.
No, it's a slippery slope. If you do, it's hard to come back from that. But you got to be involved. In the beginning, especially, it's like having a new baby. Beginning, you got to really take care of this thing, right? It relies on you. And then over time it matures and it wants nothing to do with you. Right. And that normally happens about 12 years in the human world. We hope it happens a lot faster in the franchise world. But in the beginning, be prepared to kind of roll your sleeves up, get in the mix, because I always find it's easier to lead your team if you've done the job.
Yeah.
Now, our franchisees are not putting lashes on people's faces, just so you know, or doing right. people nails, but they're in the mix. And if I say if they're putting in 40 hours a week, it's not 40 hours inside their four walls. Right. They're working from home. We really leverage technology and some powerful tools to give us awesome dashboards to manage by KPIs. So they don't have to be inside the facility, but they're working on the business.
Right. You can't ignore it.
Yep.
I mean, let me say that differently. You can ignore it, but it's not going to go nearly as well, right? Are you tired of being stuck in traffic during a long commute to a job you don't really like? Do you find yourself thinking of all the things you would rather do than driving on the freeway at the speed normally reserved for a school zone? Do you wish you had complete control over your personal and professional life? If so, you're not alone. So do our clients at Fran Coach. Fran Coach works with talented yet frustrated professionals who long for more control over things like freedom and flexibility, the ability to work hard for themselves versus someone else, and most importantly, avoid the craziness of rush hour traffic. How can this be accomplished? By working for yourself as a franchise owner. Fran Coach works with people like this to help them identify the absolute best franchise for them to own, the one that can help them achieve all their goals. If you are sick of rush hour traffic and want to see if now is the time to work for yourself, contact Fran Coach today at francoach.net. Set up your free consultation so we can help you get off the road to nowhere and create your better tomorrow. So, okay. So now we're coming in as an owner. We know we need to be involved, right? This is our baby. And again, when you're doing multi-units, right? Like then it's, you know, two, three, four, it's like our kids, we care less about them after the first one where we've bubble wrapped the whole house. The third one, they're playing with knives in the crib. Right. So
I would say I taught my first to read. I didn't have time to teach the second one. You're on your own.
ask your sibling. Maybe they can do it. So, but we're with all three of these, we are managing a skilled, but unique staff. So talk a little bit about how all three of these brands and kind of head to toe in general, that they're going to help me come in and own one of these. I'm not a lash expert. I'm not a nail expert. I don't cut hair, right? I get the importance and I like the idea of managing more like professional kind of skilled people, but I've never done it. How are you guys going to help me identify those folks and manage those folks?
I think one of the biggest things to recognize when you're selecting a franchise, any franchise for that matter, is how well positioned is that brand in the marketplace. And what I really love about the head-to-toe brands that we have today and any that we'll acquire must be positioned really in that kind of upper right quadrant of appeal, aspiration, quality that our customers are looking for, because you can have your lashes done a lot of different places and no one's throwing lashes on anyone's eyes at the lash lounge. It very much is an artistic craft that we respect in the amount of time we put into the training. The very same thing with our nail technicians as well as our barbers and hairstylists in Bishop's Cutler Color. And that's because we intentionally positioned our brands as the most aspirational, as the brands where you're going to get the best quality service. And for that same reason, Tim, we can attract employees who either want to work for a reliable business and they want to be affiliated with that brand, or in a lot of cases as well, particularly in the lash lounge, where the service itself is newer to the beauty category. So many young people are interested in learning the craft. They want to learn the artistry of lashing from the Ivy League of lashing, and that is the Lash Lounge. What we do in terms of training and education for our stylists is incomparable to the competition, whether it's other franchises online or, you know, the hotel training classes that you can get. So We make sure to reiterate that to our franchise candidates and people who are thinking of joining us as owners, so that they feel not only confident about their ability to hire, but even more exuberant about the brand itself. A brand attracts not only customers, it attracts employees. Yeah. Why do you think so many people want to work for Chick-fil-A? It's not just because the chicken is amazing. It's because those young people who work there learn a skill that is going to go with them for life. And that's what we want at Head to Toe.
Yeah. And I think if you, as the owner, I don't care what the staff is, you know, if you've got a lot of turnover, do not point your finger at the people walking out the door, right? Turn back around and look at how you are, right? What are you creating that environment for them? Right. And so I know that's important to you guys as well, to make sure that you're finding owners that truly are going to build that and culture's cheesy, buzzy word, but it's also real from that standpoint. So you are getting great retention, because these are folks from a staff perspective. They just want to, this is their craft. They just want a good place to go work, build a clientele, right, and be appreciated. Right. So, okay, good. I love that. The other piece of this is, guess what? This isn't a dude in a truck. We've got, like an actual, oh my gosh, retail location.
Yeah.
Oh, so scary and awful and terrible. Right, Zach? Tell me, I say that jokingly, because I know you guys get that, right? And retail is not for everybody. Like, non-retail is not for everybody. It's the beauty of what we do. It's for each person. But talk a little bit about what that location looks like, the advantage of it. And then I think most importantly is the support they're going to get, because hardly anybody out there has just randomly gone to find, you know, class A real estate space, negotiate the lease. You know, talk a little bit about kind of what the requirements are and how you guys are going to help with that.
Yeah, no, I feel like real estate is a topic that comes up quite frequently. I love talking about it. It's I've done or been a part of over 300 leases for franchisees in my short career. So I'm very well versed to talk through it. And I think it's scary, because most of these people, the only real estate they bought is their house. Most of them, they've never seen a commercial lease. They don't know anything about it. You only hear horror stories about retail leases. You never hear the good stuff, right? But when you look at it and you look at the top 100 franchisees in the, across the country, it's all brick and mortar, primarily retail. So there's something to it, right? Someone's figured this thing out. It can't be all bad. And we really take the time, or I take time in particular, to educate these folks. So while we do have our franchise sales directors for all of our brands in particular, I take the time out of my day to actually talk to these candidates to make sure they understand what real estate looks like, and understand the timelines that go with that. I think a lot of people, it's one thing to understand real estate, it's another thing to understand the timelines and what you can control and what you can't control. Right. Because there's certain things you can't control, and you just need to pour a glass of wine and have a good laugh, because you can't. Right. And I'll call those things out to prep people. But our team that we have, it's an outsourced real estate team. They really are hustlers. They take the time to educate franchisees and explain the basic things, like what is triple net? What does that mean? And really explain that and go through it. And then obviously we look over all the deal terms to make sure that a franchisee is not signing off on a deal that we probably wouldn't sign off on.
Right.
And protecting them there. We're not attorneys, but we've read a few leases in our day. So what I love about retail is the fact that customers come to you because of your location. You don't have to go spend a bunch of money on marketing to get a bunch of leads, to go hunt and find clients every single day. Oftentimes you got 25,000 people flying past your sign every day or more, right, in some instances, right? And these brands, what I like in particular is they're mostly destination businesses. Very rarely will someone just pop in off the street, you could say, and get a service. Frenchie's probably more than most. They see the most walk-ins of the three. Lash, definitely not. So when it's a destination business, yes, we want to be in Class A, but we don't have to be on the corner of the Class A. We can kind of be in that inline space, which gets us in the vicinity of our core clientele, but we get the better deal because it's a less desirable space compared to what Starbucks wants or Lululemon wants or whoever, right, you name the high-end brand. The other thing that we can look at, which really significantly reduces the rent risk to a franchisee, second floor space. There's not a lot of brands that are looking for second floor space. We'll take it. Because if someone's coming to get their lashes done or their nails done or a haircut, they'll walk up a flight of stairs. They've probably already sought you out on their little iPhone. They've followed it wherever the iPhone took them. They're in your parking lot. They'll walk up the stairs. And sometimes the rent can be 75% less. Much better deal terms on the second floor. Yeah. But that doesn't work for some retail facilities. They have to be on the first floor because they rely on that window and grabbing someone's attention to get them to walk in. Whereas we're spending a lot of time on the digital side, getting people to make appointments.
What I think there's the thing in real estate, everybody's going to know like, oh, location, 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 right? But the biggest piece of this, and I think the biggest mistake people can make, it's the other three words. It's negotiation, 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 right? And so just that, talking about the knowledge you're going to have of, and again, most people aren't going to, like you said, triple net, nobody's going to know what that is, or a TI, right? Or, the in versus the middle, or this is one that could be on a second floor in that type of area, still anchored. It's still in the right, corner, kind of strip mall or corner, but because it's more destination, you're able to get away with that. And then it is like, and I'm sure you guys have both seen, right, in your years, people have made, right, you're going to help and do all of those things, but it's always clear to know the franchisor is not doing it all for you. They're there to guide it with you. You're the owner. You want to make a bad decision. Mm-hmm. Like you're going to have people in your ear telling you not to do it and all the reasons why. But we've all seen people that have, and all of a sudden now they're in a location, maybe a fine, but they're over their head for way too long because of what they're spending. What you're saying, Zach, is giving people an opportunity to be in a great location, but for much less price than even some of their neighbors in the same strip mall, which is amazing.
Yeah. And I think it's also, people look at TI as a way to decrease their initial investment. I look at it as a way to pad your working capital account. Because when you look at like the timeline of when you get your reimbursement check from Mr. Landlord, it comes normally a month or two after you've been open. Right. And every FDD you're going to read says, here's 3 months of working capital in it. Right. In the initial investment. Well, oftentimes that's not enough. So what do you do with that TI check when you get it? Don't go buy a car. Roll that TI check into your working capital account so you have enough money to sustain the growth till you hit a natural break-even point, and then you have your growth from there. A lot of times I've seen, businesses, what's the number one reason why businesses fail across the country? They run out of money. So really taking the time to educate people on like, hey, when these allocations of funds come, here's where you need to put it and here's why, and educating them on that, I think, is what's going to lead to our success.
Yeah, no, I love it. Meg, what are we maybe missing? I'm sure there's a million things, but with Head to Toe in general, or specific to any of these three brands, what have we maybe missed today that you really want to make sure everybody gets to hear?
You know, I think we've talked about why Head to Toe makes sense from a consumer standpoint, and even why it makes sense from an organizational standpoint for Riverside. And Zach was touching on the ideas of ownership for franchisees, but I think there's a piece that we're not forgetting, but we're glossing over after so many years of change and the evolution. I was listening to the news this morning about, Amazon's going back to work, and people are starting to really recognize that socializing, even in the workplace, is important. Getting out from behind your desk is important. I'm sitting here in my home office, and I can't wait to get our Head to Toe office leased, because it really is important to engage. And a part of that is just the human joy factor. And we started out this conversation this morning, this afternoon, might have mentioned that I see in my neighbor's driveway a couple of franchise vans. They're probably dealing with some kind of basement flooding, which makes me sad for them. And I know it's a great brand over there helping them, but there's a joy factor in the franchising of beauty and retail services that, man, when you get up in the morning, and I've worked the front desk of our corporate store here in Ann Arbor many times, when you get up in the morning and you go to work and you put your uniform on, you sit behind that desk and you're answering the phone and you're greeting guests, every person who comes in is really happy to be there. And then they're even happier when they walk out. And as silly as it may sound, there's just something really, truly satisfying about business ownership that makes people feel good. You feel good as a franchisee. You feel proud. You can show your friends this lovely retail space you have. You have employees who are coming in to work in a safe and beautiful environment they feel proud of. And I don't know, the currency of feeling good is something we've kind of forgotten about. And I'm hopeful that Co is going to really be helping our franchisees cash in on that currency of joy and just really feel good about it.
Yeah. No, I love that, because if you really go back to the main reason why people are going to work for themselves to begin with is that the control over their life, and because probably that job they were at wasn't bringing a whole bunch of joy. I love it. We had Danessa, and I always botch her last name, Ataya, that with Bio
One. And I worked with Danessa for 10 years. I'm a huge fan and we're good friends.
I love her. And she said it has been so impactful. It was probably 6 months ago. And she said, like, what are one of the things that you really look for in a franchise owner? And she's like, positivity. And it just stuck with me, because you're like, oh my gosh, because look, all the best laid plans, guess what, folks? The you know what's gonna hit the fan at some point as an owner, right? Are you Eeyore? We're like, oh, I knew that was gonna happen. Like those nail technicians, I can't, like, or are you going to be excited about, like, hey, we'll figure it out, and have to be able to look at it as like, I've got happy customers. I've created this amazing place for people to go work and kind of practice and perfect their craft. I get to talk about my happy business around the community. I think it's something that I'm glad you brought that up, man, because I don't think we talk nearly enough about that in franchising, because it is, if people had great jobs that they loved 100%, they wouldn't own franchises. so
that's true. If you're looking to be fulfilled outside of what you're doing today, then really think about what that's going to mean. Of course, we all need to feel confident about our paycheck and our ability to care for our family and have financial security. And I think it's really important that we also balance that and what we're seeking in a franchise with what's going to reward us in the other ways too, because imagine being wildly successful and not needing to go to your business anymore. I hope you still want to, because it fills you up in some way. And for most of us, when we're starting out, you aren't wildly successful at first. And so I hope you want to be there because it fills you up. So if you have that component of the bucket being filled, already rich.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's funny. You use the phrase almost exactly. My wife calls it like fill in the bucket, right? And it's like, what are the things that are going to do that? And when we've established you've got your physical location, Zach, that you talked about, that you and everybody can go into, there's, and especially for this, you're making people like, there's a definite before and after. They're going to be, you're just going to have, and it's cheesy, but a lot of happiness. And let's be honest, couldn't we all use a little bit more of that in all of our lives? So super cool, guys. Meg, Zach, thank you so much. For nice to actually, like, all been in franchising for a long time. First time I think I've actually met both of you guys. So great for that. Thank you so much for coming on today to talk to us about Head to Toe, The Lash Lounge, Bishop's Cut and Color, and Frenchie's Modern Nail. So thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having us. Have a great day.
Thanks. Thanks, you guys, Tim. Thanks again to our guest, the CEO and president of Lash Lounge, Meg Roberts, Vice President of Development, Zach Monroe, for joining us today to talk about Head to Toe, Lash Lounge, Frenchie's, and Bishop's. If this inspires you anymore to find out more about owning a franchise, whether it's one of these amazing brands or one of the 600 other plus franchises that are out there, please reach out to our team, francoach.net, franchising101podcast.net. Again, there's never any fee to work with us. We're here to help you figure it out if you should, and if so, which one. Don't forget to follow us all over social media, folks. Tons of great stuff. Our Fran Coach sites, you pick a social medium. We're there, Fran Coach Franchising 101. If you like to do this thing called read, Franchising News has a ton of blogs on there, not just from our team, but we've got, and in fact, a brand new guest article here just popped on there a couple days ago. And then, of course, don't forget Friday night, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on Biz TV. Myself, Danielle Wright, host the Franchising 360 show. So who doesn't want to catch a little bit more about franchising there? In the meantime, next week, I got another exciting guest to chat with about all this amazing stuff in the world of franchising. Until then, thanks for tuning in, and we'll chat with you next week.
Thanks for listening to Fran Coach's Franchising 101 podcast, where our ultimate goal is to help educate you on all things franchising so you can create your better tomorrow.